Now on Radio 4 Extra, settle in for a funny and moving of life backstage. The Dresser was a 1980s stage play by Ronald Harwood set in a theatre during the Blitz. It was made into a terrific film by Peter Yates, starring Albert Finney and Tom Courtney. But the original stage version starred Freddie Jones as Sir, and he reprises that role here in this 1993 radio adaptation with Michael Palin as his put-upon dresser Norman. Sir is due on stage as King Lear. But will he make it?
I kissed thee, and I killed thee. No way but this. Killing myself to die upon a kiss. What do we play tomorrow, Norman?
King Lear, sir.
Then I shall wake with the storm clouds in my head.
The Dresser by Ronald Harwood, with Freddie Jones as Sir and Michael Palin as Norman.
Our most cherished ambition is to serve the greatest poet dramatist who has ever lived by taking his plays to every corner of our beloved.
Oh, I'm sorry, you poorly. You were lovely in the Corsican Brothers.
God help the man who stopped me!
I've had nothing but cry.
Oh, are they keeping him in, your ladyship?
They wouldn't let me stay. The doctor said I seemed to make matters worse.
I shouldn't have taken him to the hospital. I don't know what came over me. I shouldn't have brought him back here, where he belongs.
How did he come to be in such a state, Norman? When you telephoned, I thought at first he'd been hurt in the air raid.
No.
Or had an accident.
No, not an accident.
No, I know, because they said there was no sign of physical injury.
Your ladyship.
He's in a state of collapse.
I know.
Well, how did he get like that?
Your ladyship.
What happened to him?
Sit down. Please, your ladyship, sit down. What happened was this, your ladyship. After the last all clear sounded, I went into Market Square as dusk was coming on. I'd hoped to find a packet or two of Brown and Poulsen's corn flour, since the supplies are rather low and the stuff's scarce, and you never know. So I was asking at this stall and that, when I heard his voice.
Whose voice?
Well, sir's, of course. I turned and saw him by the candlemaker who was shutting up shop for the night. He was taking off his overcoat in this weather.
What?
God help the man who stops me, he shouted, and threw the coat to the ground, just like Lear in the storm scene. Look at it. Oh. He was so proud of it. Do you remember?
Mm.
Perhaps it was before your time. First Canadian tour, Toronto. Raglan sleeves, fur collar. Now look at it.
What happened after he took off his coat?
Started on the hat. Dunn's Piccadilly only a year ago. Down on the coat it went, and he jumped on it. Stamped on his hat. Viciously stamped on his hat. We can see. He lifted both hands, as he does to convey sterility into Goneril's womb, and he called out, "How much further do you want me to go?" His fingers were all of a fidget, undoing his jacket, loosening his collar and tie, tearing at the buttons of his shirt.
Were there many people about?
A small crowd. That's why I ran to him. I didn't want him to stand there looking ridiculous with people all around, sniggering.
You shouldn't have let the public see him like that.
It's easy to be wise after the event, if you don't mind me saying so, your ladyship. But I tried to spirit him away. Not easy with a man of his proportions. Only just then, a woman approached, quite old, wearing bombazine under a tweed coat, but perfectly respectable. She'd picked up his clothes and wanted to help him dress. Well, I just stood there amazed, utterly amazed. He said to the woman, "Thank you, my dear, but Norman usually looks after me. I'd be lost without Norman." So I thought to myself, this is your cue, ducky, and I said, "I'm Norman. I'm his dresser." The woman took his hand and kissed it, saying, "You were lovely in the Corsican Brothers." He looked at her a long while, smiled sweetly, and said, "Thank you, my dear, but you must excuse me. I have to make an exit." And he ran off.
He said, "I have to make an exit."
Well, of course, I went after him, fearing the worst. I didn't know he could run so fast. I just followed a trail of discarded clothing, jacket, waistcoat, and thought, we can't have Sir doing a striptease round the town. But then I found him, leaning up against a lamppost, weeping. Without a word, hardly knowing what I was doing, I led him to the hospital. A doctor was summoned, short, bald, bespectacled, and I was excluded by the drawing of screens.
And then you telephoned me?
No, I waited. I lurked, as Edmund says, and heard the doctor whisper, "This man is exhausted. This man is in a state of collapse." Then the sister came out and said, "I must fetch you at once." That's when I telephoned, and that's how it happened.
He did nothing but cry.
Yes, you said.
In just over an hour, there'll be an audience in this theatre hoping to see him as King Lear. What am I to do?
Well, don't upset yourself for a start.
I've never had to make this sort of decision before, any sort of decision before. As soon as I came out of the hospital, I telephoned Madge and asked her to meet me here as soon as possible. She'll know what to do.
Oh, yes. Madge will know what to do. She won't upset herself, that's for certain. Madge, you'll be ever so sensible. Well, of course, stage managers have to be.
The doctor asked me about his behaviour. Had I noticed anything untoward?
What did you say, if you don't mind me asking?
I lied. I said he'd been perfectly normal. I didn't want to appear neglectful. I should have been more vigilant. Only last night I woke and... Oh, is that Madge?
No, Irene. You were saying, last night you woke...
He was looking down at me. He was naked. It was bitter cold and he was shivering. He said, "Thank you for watching over me, but don't worry too much. Just go on looking after me. I have the feeling I may do something violent."
Talk about untoward. I'm glad you didn't tell the doctor that. They'd have locked him up for good.
This morning, our landlady reported something untoward. After breakfast, while I was still asleep, he listened to the news, she said, and wept. Afterwards, he sat at the dining table writing, or trying to write. But all he did was to crumple up sheet after sheet of paper. When I came down, I smoothed them out to see what he'd written. My life. My life. The rest of the page was empty. I should have made him rest. The doctor said he'd come to the end of his rope and found it frayed.
Doctors? Just imagine trying to explain to a doctor what Sir's been through. Well, you see, Doctor, he's been trying to recruit actors for his Shakespearean company, but all the able-bodied and best ones are in uniform, and the theatres are bombed to bits as soon as you book them. Not to mention the trouble this week with Mr. Davenport Scott. Doctors, he'd have had his hypodermic rampant before he could say as you like it.
What's the latest on Mr. Davenport Scott?
If you don't mind, I'd rather not discuss Mr. Davenport Scott with a lady. I'll tell Madge all about it when she comes in. Suffice to say, he will not be making an appearance this evening.
Madge is right. There's no alternative. We'll have to cancel.
Oh, no, your ladyship. Cancellation's ever so drastic.
He's ill. There's no crime in being ill. It's not high treason, not a capital offence, not desertion in the face of the enemy. I never imagined it would end like this. I've always thought he was indestructible, all the years we've been together. Seems like a lifetime.
Even longer, he and I. This will be the first time we've ever cancelled.
My father was exactly the same. Always exaggerated his illnesses. That's why I thought it was not very serious. I thought...
Madge, you can always tell. She walks as if the band were playing Onward Christian Soldiers.
Any further developments? We'd better see the manager. Perhaps you ought to come with me, Your Ladyship.
Yes.
Oh, Your Ladyship, please. Let's take our time. Let's not rush
There's
things.
There's no alternative.
Madge is right. He's in hospital. We can't play King Lear without the King. We have to make a decision.
Forgive me, Your Ladyship. It's not a decision we have to make. It's the right decision. I had a friend, before one's face was lined, as the saying goes. In a very low state he was, ever so fragile, a pain to be with. Someone close to him, his mother, I believe, though it was never proved, understandably upset, made a decision. A little rest, she said, among those similarly off-centre in Colwyn Bay. Never a good date, not in February, wrapped in a grey rug, gazing into grey sea. Talk about bleak. Mother dear made a decision, but it was the wrong decision. My friend never acted again.
We have to face the facts.
I've never done that in my life, Your Ladyship. I don't see why I should start now. I just like things to be lovely. No pain. That's my motto.
But things aren't lovely, Norman.
They aren't if you face facts. It's no good, sir, talking about responsibility and service and struggle and survival and then you go and cancel a performance.
It's a disease.
What is?
Hopefulness. I think we should discuss this in private, Your Ladyship. I'll be in my room.
Yes, well... Perhaps it is a disease.
I'll be in Madge's room if I want to.
Oh, don't decide yet, your ladyship. Let me go to the hospital. Let me see how he is. You never know.
I do know. I realise now I've witnessed a slow running down. I've heard the hiss of air escaping. We'll call the company together at the Harp. I'll tell them that tonight's performance is cancelled, that the engagement has to be ended.
Shh. Your ladyship.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Norman. Good evening, Pussy.
Bonzo, why are you here?
My name is on the door.
Did the doctor say you could leave?
Doctors! Executioners! I discharge myself.
Telephone the hospital.
Do not telephone the hospital!
Norman, will you leave us, please?
I'll see Madge and tell her there's an alternative.
You're fit for nothing.
Please, Pussy, don't.
Cancel the performance.
God mustn't, won't.
Then take the consequences.
When have I not?
The doctor promised you'd be kept there.
They tried to inject me. They couldn't hold me down.
Where have you been all day? Don't tell me you found a brothel in this town.
I can't remember all I've done. I know toward evening I was being pursued, but I couldn't see who the villains were, and the warning went. I refused to take shelter. I'm accustomed to the blasted heath. Acrid smell, eyes watering. Wherever I went, I seemed to hear a woman crying.
The woman you heard crying was me.
Norman. Norman, Norman!
Sir?
Norman, I want you by me.
Yes, sir.
Don't leave my side, Norman.
Yes, sir.
I shall want help, Norman.
Yes, sir.
Madge, dear.
You speak to him. He doesn't hear a word I say. He's obviously incapable.
Sir, look exhausted.
What a cold tact.
Are you sure you're able to go on tonight?
He wouldn't be here if he wasn't, would you, sir?
How long have you been with me, Madge, dear?
Longer than anyone else.
How long?
20 years. Nearly 20 years.
Have I ever missed a performance?
No, but then you've never been ill.
I only want what's best for you.
What's best for sir is that he's allowed to get ready.
Ready? Yes. I must get ready.
Ready for what?
Excuse me, your ladyship. Shouldn't you be getting ready too?
I can't bear to see him like this.
Then best to leave us. I've had experience of these things. I know what has to be done.
I like a nice cup of tea in the morning for to start the day, you'll see.
Imagine waking to that night after night.
Right. Shall we begin at the beginning? Good evening, sir. Good evening, Norman. And how are you this evening, sir? A little tearful, I'm afraid. And you, Norman? I'm very well, thank you, sir. Had ever such a quiet day, cleaning your wig and beard, ironing your costumes, washing your undies. And what have you been up to, sir? I've been jumping on me hat, Norman. Not much fun for me, this conversation. Not much fun for you either, I suspect. Are we going to sulk all evening, or are we going to speak to our servants?
I do wish you'd stop crying, sir.
Shall we play I spy? I spy with my little eye something beginning with A. I know you won't guess, so I'll tell. A is for actor. And actors have to work, and actors have to put on their makeup and change their frocks, and then, of course, actors have to act. I've never known a kettle take so long to boil. There's less than an hour to go. You usually want longer. Shall we make a start? Yes, it's me, Norman, the one with the soulful eyes. I saved my rations for you. I don't mind going without.
I like a nice cup of tea in the morning, for to start the day, you see. And at 11:30, well, my idea of heaven is a nice cup of tea. I like a nice cup of tea with me dinner, and a nice cup of tea with me tea. And when it's time for bed, there's a lot to be said for a nice cup of... I just want a cup of nice cup of tea.
Drink up. It's tea, not rat poison.
Come on, sir. There. That's better, isn't it? Isn't it? Oi. Would you like a bicky? I saved one from the mayor's reception in Bridlington. No? Then why don't you have one, Norman? Thanks very much, I will. If you don't mind my saying so, sir, there seems little point in discharging yourself from hospital and coming to sit here like Niobe prior to being turned into stone. So, shall we make an effort? Oh, let me do that. That's what I'm here for. I know how it feels. I had a friend. Worse than you, he was. And all they ever wanted to do with him was put him away. And no one wants to go through that. Or so my friend said. They'll send you to Colwyn Bay, and you know he never do any business in Colwyn Bay. Guess what got my friend well? Sounds silly, this. An offer of work. Meant someone thought of him, and that's ever such a comfort. So here's something to cheer you up. It's going to be a full house tonight. All those people thinking of you and wanting you to act.
Really? A full house?
Shall we make a start?
What play is it tonight?
King Lear, sir.
Impossible! No!
Well, thank you very much. That's nice, isn't it? People are paying good money to see you, and you say impossible. Very nice indeed, I don't think.
I don't want to be seen.
Difficult when you're playing King Lear with the lighting you use.
I don't want to see her ladyship.
Even more difficult since she's playing Cordelia. You saw her a moment ago. You were alone together.
Were we? What's the play tonight?
King Lear, sir.
If only I could find a good, catchy title. I think My Life a little plain, don't you?
Still stuck, are we?
No. No, I wrote a little today. Two or three sides of an exercise book, but I can't find the title.
We'll think of something.
See if it's still in my coat.
Right, yes. Let's have a look. Oh, yes. Here we are, sir.
I thought I'd written today. Look for me. Is there anything? No. Evidently not. It can't be Lear again.
Shall we begin our makeup?
There's my hat. I'm getting out of here. I'm not staying in this place a moment longer. I'm surrounded by vipers. Betrayal on every side. I'm being crushed. The lifeblood is draining out of me. The load is too great. Norman, if you have any regard for me, don't listen to him.
Oh.
More. I can't give any more. I have nothing more to give. I want to tranquil senility. I'm a grown man. I don't want to go on painting my face night after night, wearing clothes that are not my own. I'm not a child, dressing up for charades. This is my work. My life's work. I'm an actor. And who cares? Who cares if I go out there tonight or any other night and shorten my life?
I had a friend once said,
Norman, I don't care if there are only three people up front. If the audience laugh when they shouldn't or don't when they should. One person, just one person, is certain to know and understand. And I act for him. That's what my friend said.
I know futility when I see it. I dream at night of unseen hands driving wooden stakes into my feet. What did I do today?
Yes, I'd like to see him.
I'd rather you didn't.
It's my responsibility to take the curtain up tonight. There isn't much time.
Things have reached a delicate stage. I don't want him disturbed.
What for the whispering?
Nothing, nothing.
Has he begun to make up yet?
Not yet, but...
Don't you realise how late it is? They'll be calling the half in a moment.
I know how late it is.
Then on your head, be it.
Who was that?
Only Madge, to say that everything's running like clockwork.
What's it matter where you were or what you did today? You're here. In the theatre, safe and sound, where you belong. And a full house. Lovely.
Really? A full house?
They'll be standing in the gods.
Do you know they bombed the Grand Theatre Plymouth?
And much else of the city besides.
I made my debut at the Grand Theatre Plymouth.
They weren't to know.
I shouldn't have come out this spring, but I had no choice. He made me.
Oh.
I should have rested.
I'm not surprised you're feeling dispirited. It's been ever such a hard time. No young men to play the juveniles and the trouble with Mr. Davenport Scott.
What news of Mr. Davenport Scott?
The police have opposed bail.
How then do we dispose our forces?
Mr. Thornton is standing by to play fool.
And who was Oswald?
Mr. Brown, I'm afraid.
That leaves me a night short for reason, not the need.
98 short, actually, if you take the text as gospel, so one more or less won't be too upsetting.
Thornton, toothless as fool. Brown, lisping as Oswald. Oxenby, limping as Edmund. What have I come to? I've never had a company like this one. I'm reduced to old men, cripples, and Nancy boys. Hitler has made it very difficult for Shakespearean companies.
It'll be a chapter in the book, sir.
Hmm.
I hate to mention this, but we're going to be short for the storm.
What?
We've no one to operate the wind machine, not if Mr. Thornton's to play fool. Mr. Thornton was ever so good on the wind machine. Madge knows the problem, but she's very unsympathetic.
You tell Madge from me I must have the storm at full strength. What about Oxenby?
Well, not the most amenable of gentlemen.
Send him to me at the hearth. I'll have a word with him. And I'd better talk to Thornton, too.
You see? That's more like it. You're where you belong. Doing what you know best. And you're yourself again. You start making up. I'll go and tell them to come and see you. Shan't be a minute. It's Oxenby. Could you pop in to see sir at the hearth? Jeffrey.
Oh, Desdemona. Desdemona dead. Oh.
Oh, no, sir. No, not Othello. Oh, come here. I'd have given anything to see the play tonight. As you all blacked up and Cordelia saying, you begot me, bred me, loved me.
Well, you see, Ducky, this King Lear have been a bar a bit.
We used to have a game when I was with Benson. We called it risque. You had to turn the line to get a double entendre. The best I ever heard. Was from a character man called Berriton. You know the line, what, 50 of my followers at a clap within a fortnight?
Yes, I know the line and the story.
Well, one day, on the train call between Aberdeen and Liverpool, a journey I recommend as punishment for deserters, Berriton came out with, what, 50 of my followers with the clap? Within a fortnight.
There we are, sir. All cleaned up.
Yes. Another blank page.
The time has come, if you don't mind my saying so, to stop waxing poetical and to wax a bit more practical. Oh?
Irene, I've come for the Triple Crown.
Enter. Good evening, my child.
Good evening, sir.
All well?
Thank you, sir.
You've come for the Triple Crown.
Yes, sir.
Polish it well. I like it gleaming.
Yes, sir.
Here it is, my child. Pretty young thing, aren't you?
Thank you, sir.
Sir, it's time to age.
Thank you, sir.
They're all the same colour. Which stick do I use? I can't see the colours.
You start with the eyebrows.
Eyebrows?
Yes, sir. You soap the eyebrows. Good. Now, number five. Just the mask you always say. Leave clean the upper lip and chin for the moustache and beard. And not too high on the forehead. There. Easy as falling off a tightrope. Now, lake for the lines.
There was a time when I had to paint in all the lines. Now I merely deepen what is all ready there.
What now?
How is he?
He'll be all right if he's left in peace.
I want to see with my own eyes.
He's not to be disturbed.
And what about the understudies?
He knows all about it. Everything's in hand.
The manager wants to know if he can let the house in.
Tell him yes.
Will he be ready on time? Will he be well enough?
Yes.
What is going on? Who was that?
Just a minion. Minioning.
Too many interruptions. My concentration...
We've forgotten something, if you don't mind my saying so. We have to sink our cheeks.
I shall look like this in my coffin.
And a broad, straight line of number 20 down the nose. Good strength, you say.
And were you able to find any Brown and Paulsons?
No, but I'm still looking. There's enough left for this tour. Now, we mix the white hard varnish with a little surgical spirit, don't we?
I know how to stick on a beard. I have been a depictor for over 40 years and steered my own course for over 30. You think I don't know how to affix a beard and moustache? You overstep the mark, boy! Don't get above yourself! I shall want to rest after the storm scene.
There's no need to tell me. I know.
Towel. Towel, towel, towel! Something's missing. What's missing?
I don't want to get above myself, sir, but how about the wig? Shall we take extra care with the join tonight? On Tuesday, Richard III looked as if he were wearing a peaked cap.
Hot. Unbearably hot. I'm going to faint.
Have a nip. Have a nip, it won't harm. Oh, sir, we mustn't give up. Let's highlight our lines.
Imagine bumming the Grand Theatre Plymouth. Barbarians. I shall give them a good one tonight.
Half an hour, please, sir.
Already?
You were late in tonight, sir.
Norman?
Sir?
What's the first line? All this clitter-clatter, chitter-chatter.
Attend the Lords of France.
You put it from my head. You must keep silent when I'm dressing. I have work to do. Work. Hard, bloody labour. I have to carry the world tonight, the whole bloody universe.
Sir, sir.
I can't remember the first line.
I'll take you through it.
Take me through it. Nobody takes you through it. You're put through it night after night. And I haven't the strength.
Well, you're a fine one, I must say. You, of all people, you disappoint me, if you don't mind my saying so. You, who always say self-pity is the most unattractive quality, on stage or off. Struggle and survival, that's all that matters, you say. Struggle and survival. Well, we all bloody struggle, don't we? I struggle. You think it's easy for me? Well, I'll tell you something for nothing, it isn't easy, not one little bit. Neither the struggle, nor the bloody survival. Whole world's struggling for bloody survival, so why can't you?
My dear Norman, I seem to have upset you. I apologize. I understand. We cannot always be strong. There are dangers in covering the cracks.
Never mind about covering the cracks. What about the wig join? I'm sorry if I disturbed your concentration.
We both understand servitude, Alfonso.
Shall we finish our eyebrows?
Bonzo, how do you feel?
A little more myself, Pussy.
You see, your ladyship, once he's assumed the disguise, he's a different man.
Mr. Thornton and Mr. Oxenby are waiting outside to see you. Shall I ask them to come in?
I don't want to see Oxenby. He frightens me. Mind you, he is the best Iago I've ever had or seen. And I include that 4'6" Sir Arthur Palgrove.
That's more like the sir we know and love.
Sir Arthur Palgrove. Went on playing Hamlet till he was 68. There were more lines on his face than steps to the gallery. I saw his Lear. I was pleasantly disappointed. Sir Arthur Palgrove. Who advises his majesty? Answer me that.
You're a miracle worker, Norman.
Thank you, your ladyship.
Here's a piece of chocolate for you.
Oh, thank you, your ladyship.
It'll be all hands to the pump tonight, Norman.
A small part of the service, your ladyship.
Thank you.
Don't suppose I didn't see that, because I did. It is I who have to carry her on, dead as Cordelia. It is I who have to lift her up, carry her in my arms. Thank Christ I thought for rationing. But no, no. She'd find sugar in a sand dune.
Shall I show the actors in?
I don't...
Sir, you have to see the actors. Mr. Thornton... This way, Geoffrey.
Thanks, man.
Mr. Thornton to see you, sir.
Well, Geoffrey, does the costume fit?
Mr. Davenport Scott was such a tall man.
Mr. Davenport Scott was a worm. You look... Do you know the line?
Yes.
Don't keep me waiting for you.
Oh.
Pace.
Yes.
And keep out of my focus.
Yes.
The boom lights placed in the downstage wings are for me and me only.
Yes, old man, I know.
You must find what light you can.
Right.
Let me hear you sing.
What?
He that has and a little tiny wit.
He that has and... He that has and a little tiny wit. He that has and a little tiny wit. With hey-ho, the wind and the rain must make content with his fortune's fit. For the rain it raineth every day.
All right. Speak it. Don't sing it. And in the storm scene, if you're going to put your arms round my legs, as Davenport Scott did, then round my calves, not my thighs. He nearly ruptured me twice.
If you'd rather I didn't...
Feel it, my boy, feel it. That's the only way, whatever takes you.
Right.
But do not let too much take you. Remain within the bounds. And at all costs, remain still... When I speak.
Of course.
And no crying in the part.
Oh, no.
I have the tears in this play.
I know.
Serve the playwright.
Yes.
And keep your teeth in.
It's only when I'm nervous.
You will be nervous, I guarantee it. There will be no extra payment for this performance. I believe your contract is play as cast?
Yes.
Good fortune attend your endeavors.
Thank you, sir.
God bless, Geoffrey.
Rather face the fancy hordes any
time. I hope Mr. Churchill has better men in his cabinet.
Mr. Oxenby's waiting, sir.
Oxenby? I can't. What does Oxenby want?
It's not what he wants, it's what we want. What? Someone to operate the wind machine.
I don't want to see Oxenby. I can't bear the man. It's stifling in here.
We'll have no storm without him. This way, Mr. Oxenby. Mr. Oxenby to see you, sir.
You wanted to see me.
I will... did I? Excuse me. My throat.
Sir was wondering if he could ask of you a favour.
He can ask.
As you'll no doubt have heard, Mr. Davenport Scott will not be rejoining the company.
Yes, I've heard. You share a dressing room with one or two of them, you hear nothing else. It upsets the Pansy fraternity when one of their number is caught.
Because Mr. Thornton is having to play fool, and because our two elderly knights are setting the hobble behind the front cloth during the storm, we've no one to operate the wind machine. We'd ask Mr. Brown, but he's really rather too fragile. We wondered if you would turn the handle.
In short, no. Anything else? Has he read my play yet?
Fancy not wanting to muck in.
He hates me. I feel his hatred. All I stand for, he despises. I wouldn't read his play, not if he were Commissar of Culture.
I've read it.
Is there a part for me?
Yes, but you wouldn't credit the language.
He was ungenerous about Davenport Scott. I hold no brief for buggers, but where's the man's humanity? A fellow artist brought low and in the cells cannot be cause for rejoicing.
Oughtn't we to be quiet for a bit, sir?
Quarter of an hour, please. Quarter. Few minutes late. Sorry, that girl I'd really...
Quarter, I can't. I'm not ready. Tell them to go home. Give them their money back. I can't. I hate the swine. I can't.
What are you saying? Do you want the performance cancelled?
No, it doesn't.
How does it begin?
For your own good, I think you should.
How does it begin?
Get out. You'll be good and ready when the curtain goes
up. We've run out of time.
20 minutes yet. We'll go up late.
Leave me in peace! I can't remember the lines. Norman, how does it begin?
He hath been out 9 years and away shall again. The king is coming. Attend the lords of France and Burgundy, Gloucester.
Attend the lords of France and Burgundy, Gloucester.
I shall, my liege.
Yes.
Meantime, we shall express
Meantime,
our...
Meantime, we shall express our darker purpose.
Give me the map.
Don't tell me. Don't tell me. I know it. I'll ask for it if I need it. I have played the part before, you know. Meantime, we shall express our darker purpose. A purpose. What do I fear?
Not wrong. Know that we have divided.
There's none else by. True, I talk of dreams, which are the children of an idle brain.
Wrong play.
I will move storms. I will condole in submersion.
No, that's another wrong play.
Can this cockpit hold the vasty fields of France? Macbeth shall sleep no more. I have lived long enough.
Oh, now look what you've gone and done.
What?
Go out. Go out. You've quoted the Scots tragedy.
Did I? Oh, Christ.
Out. Oh. Turn round three
One,
times.
Two. Three.
Knock. Come in. Swear.
Bizpots.
Are you ready, Vandal?
And my poor fool is hanged. No life. Why should a dog, a horse, a rat have life? And thou, no breath at all. Thou'lt come no more. Never.
Welcome back, sir. You'll be all right.
Struggle, Bonzo.
Survival, Pussy. Let us descend and survey the scene of battle. The night I played my first lyre, there was a real thunderstorm. Now they send bombs! How much more do I have to endure? We are to speak Will Shakespeare tonight, and they will go to any lengths to prevent me.
I shouldn't take it so personally, sir.
Bomb, bomb, bomb us into oblivion if you dare! But each word I speak will be a shield against your savagery. Each line I utter, protection from your terror.
I don't think they can hear you, sir.
Smiles. Barbarian.
Oh, sir. Just as we were winning.
Perhaps it's time to make a contact. Look at him. There. Fetch Madge.
Norman.
Sir?
Get me to the stage. By Christ, no squadron of fascist Bolsheviks will stop me now. Do as I say!
Who'll make the announcement?
Davenport Scott, of course.
Oh, dear, Mr. Davenport Scott isn't here tonight. Everyone else is in costume.
You, then, Norman.
Me, sir? No, sir, I can't appear.
You, Norman.
But, sir, I shall never remember what to say.
Do not argue. I have given my orders. I have enough to contend with.
But, sir, I'm not equipped.
Do it! Why? Why can't I stop shaking?
Ladies and gentlemen, the warning has just gone. An air raid is in progress. We shall proceed with the performance. Will those who wish to leave, do so as quietly as possible. Thank you.
Stand life. Stand by on tabs. House lights to a half. Cue timpani. House lights out. Cue engrams. Cue drum roll. Stand by on stage. Go Elex. Curtain going up.
I thought the king had more affected the Duke of Albany than Cornwall.
It did always seem so to us. But now, in the division of the kingdom, it appears not which of the dukes he values most.
Geoffrey, was I all right? The announcement, was I effective?
Yes,
and good. Good luck,
Geoffrey. I have so often blushed to acknowledge him that now I am brazen to it.
Your
ladyship, was I all right?
Sir,
better than Mr. Davenport.
This young girl's mother could.
Really? Do you mean it? I was ever so nervous. Do you think anyone noticed the fluff? Well, those who wished to live could have kept myself. Was I really all right?
You were fine.
Did he say anything?
No.
Who yet is no dearer in my account? Do you know this noble gentleman, Edmund?
No, my lord.
My lord of Kent. Remember him hereafter as my honourable friend.
My services to your lordship.
I must love you, and soon to know you better.
Sir, I shall study deserving.
He has been up 9 years, and away and again.
Stand by, please, your ladyship. Stand by, please, sir.
The king is
curing Cordelius Vanvere. Viewing timpani, sir. Stand by, sir. Queuing the king's fanfare.
Sir, it's your cue. Her ladyship's entered. Quite a nice round, too. Now it's your turn. Come along, sir.
You see? What did I say?
Please, sir, I implore you.
The king is coming!
Sir, you're on. You're on.
Methought I saw the king.
Methought so, too.
Methought I saw him. His procession formed. 100 knights his escort. Somber they looked. Their muted colours of a tone with the bleak heathland, which is our kingdom.
Please, sir, it's your entrance. Miss Oxenby's having to extemporise.
The king, my father, was, methought, behind me. From our camp we marched. A goodly distance, I ahead, as is our custom. Perchance he rested, for age has not the spring of youth.
Sir, the natives are getting restless. Come on, sir. That's it.
Ah! Methinks I see the king!
Oh, sir.
No, I was mistook. My lord! With thy consent, I shall to his majestic side, there to discover his royal progress.
Is he coming or isn't he?
Yes.
I am assured, my lord, the king is coming.
Cue the king's fanfare again.
Struggle and survival, sir. It's a full house. Ten the lords of France and Burgundy, master. Go on, sir. You can do it.
Attend the Lord of France and Burgundy, Gloucester.
I shall, my liege.
Meantime, we shall express our darker purpose.
Oh, thank God for
give
that.
Give me the map there. Know that we have divided in three our kingdom, and tis our last intent. Think I'll weep? No, I'll not weep. I have full cause of weeping, but this heart shall break into 100,000 flaws, or ere I'll weep. Oh, fool. I shall go mad.
For confirmation that I am much more than my outwalls, open this purse and take
stand by
what
storm.
It contains. If you shall see Cordelia, and doubt not but you shall, show her this ring.
Go, Thundersheet.
And she will tell you
Thundersheet.
What your sorrow is. That yet you do not know. Spy on this star. Give me your hand.
Swines.
Have you no more?
Just when you need them, they run away.
Few words, but to effect. More than all yet, that when we have found the king in which your pain, that way, I'll this, he that first lights on him, holla the other.
Go, storm.
Thunder sheet. Oh, wind machine. Oh.
Hurricanes, but till you have drenched our people.
Louder, louder!
for cataracts and hurricanes. And I am given trickles and whistles. I demand oak-cleaving thunderbolts. And you answer with farting flies. I am the storm. I am the wind and the spit and the fire and the pother. And I am fed with nothing but muffled funeral drums. Christ Almighty! God forgive them, for they know not what they do. I am driven deaf by whiskers. Norman, you have thwarted me. I was there, within sight. I had only to be spurred upwards, and the glory was mine for the plucking, and there was naught. Zero silence, a breeze, a shower, a collision of cotton wool, the flapping of butterfly wings. I want a tempest, not a drizzle. Something will have to be done. I demand to know what happened tonight to the storm.
I'm pleased you're pleased. I've never known you not complain when you've really been at it. And tonight, one could say without fear of contradiction,
you were at it. Rest now. There, you've the interval and all Gloucester's blinding before no, they cannot touch me for coining. Try to sleep.
Mighty, her ladyship thought you were tonight. She did. That was the word she used. Mighty. And wasn't Geoffrey Agile as fool for a man of his age? Kept well downstage, never once got in your light, much less obtrusive than Mr. Davenport Scott. In every way. Are you asleep, sir?
To be driven thus. I hate the swines.
Who? Who is it you hate?
Let me rest, Norman. You must stop questioning me. Let me rest. But don't leave me till I'm asleep. I'm a spent force. My days are numbered.
Oh, is he asleep?
I think so.
I'll sit with him.
Well, don't wake him, will you, your ladyship? He's ever so tired. I'll go and mingle for a moment.
Is it my cue?
No, it's still the interval. I have things to say.
Norman tells me you thought I was mighty tonight.
I never said anything of the kind. He makes these things up.
What have you to say?
What I always have to say.
You know my answer.
You've worked hard. You've saved. Enough's enough. Tonight, in your curtain speech, make the announcement.
I can't.
You won't.
I've no choice.
You'll die. Or end up a vegetable. Well, that's your affair. But you're not going to drag me with you.
I am helpless, Pussy. Please, I'm sinking. Don't push me further into the mud.
Sir, her ladyship fantasies. For God's sake. You're a third-rate actor-manager on a tatty tour of the provinces, not some colossus bestriding a narrow world. Sir, her ladyship, look at me. Look at you. Lear's hovel is luxury compared to this.
I'm surprised at you, Pussy. With your inheritance. Your father was of the breed. He donned the purple.
Donned the purple, the breed service. I've heard it all my life. My father also talked as if he were decreeing the apostolic succession.
I'm not well. I have half of Lear's lifetime yet to live. I have to lift you in my arms. I have howl, howl, howl yet to speak. I thought tonight I caught sight of him, or saw myself as he sees me. Speaking, reason not the need. I was suddenly detached from myself. My thoughts flew, and I was observing from a great height. Go on, you bastard, I seemed to be saying, or hearing. Go on! You've more to give. Don't hold back. More, more, more. And I was watching Lear. Each word he spoke was fresh invented. I had no knowledge of what came next, what fate awaited him.
The agony was, in the moment of acting, created. I saw an old man, and the old man was me. And I knew there was more to come. But what? Bliss, partial recovery, more pain, and death. All this I knew I had yet to see. Outside myself. Do you understand? Outside myself! Don't leave me. I'll rest easy if you stay. Don't ask of me the impossible.
I'll stay till Norman returns.
Longer. I meant longer. Please. Please. Pussy, reassure me. I'm sick.
Sick? Yes, so am I. Sick. I'm sick of cold railway trains, cold waiting rooms, cold Sundays on crew, and cold food late at night. I'm sick of packing and unpacking and of darning tights. I'm sick of the smell of rotting costumes and naphthalene. And most of all, I'm sick of reading week after week that I'm barely adequate, too old, the best of a bad supporting cast, unequal to you, unworthy of your gifts. I'm sick of having to put on a brave face.
I must rest now, Pussy. I want peace.
Oh, you wanted to have your cake and to eat it.
I've never seen any point in having cake unless one's going to eat it.
Everything jolly?
Don't you know what knocking is?
Please, sir, not in front of her ladyship. I've been mingling. You should hear what they think out there. I've never known an interval like it. Michelangelo, William Blake, God knows who else you remind them of.
Michelangelo? Did they?
And Blake.
I'm going to my room.
Please stay.
You must rest, Bonzo. Mustn't he, Norman?
Yes, he must.
Pussy!
Sleep now. Is there anything else you want?
Only oblivion.
That'll come sooner or later, and I hope later. I'll wait you in plenty of time so you can enter fantastically dressed in wild flowers. Sleep tight. Don't let the fleas bite.
My life. My life. My life. Dedication. My life. Dedication. This book is dedicated to... Mudge!
Yes?
It's, going well, I think.
Except for your first entrance.
Come here. Close the door. Hold my hand. Please.
Oh, it's like ice.
Cold with fear.
What are you frightened of?
What's to come?
You know who you're talking to, do you? It's me, not someone to impress.
I'm speaking from my heart. I have never before felt so lonely.
Please, I have a show to run.
Listen. I say I'm frightened of what's to come, and I mean it. I see no friends. I am not warmed by fellowship. I only know awful solitude.
An occupational hazard. You wanted to see me about what?
I look on you as my one true friend.
I have to get back to the corner.
20 years. Did you say 20 years?
Yes.
Have you been happy? Has it been worth it?
No, I've not been happy. Yes, it's been worth it.
Madge, dear, I have something for you. I want you to have this ring. If possessions can be dear, then this ring is the dearest thing I own. This ring was worn by Edmund Kean in a play whose title is an apt inscription for what I feel. A new way to pay old debts. When you talk of it, say Edmund Kean, and I wore it. There. I once had it in mind to give it to you years ago, but you were younger then, and I thought you would misunderstand.
Yes, a ring from a man to a woman is easily misunderstood.
I know I'm thought insensitive, but I'm not blind.
No. I've always known you were aware of what the spinster in the corner felt. You were right not to give me a ring years ago. I lived in hope then. At least I've seen you every day, made myself useful to you. I settled for what I could get. I was always aware of my limitations.
You are the only one who really, truly loves me.
Oh, take it back.
My life. To the spirit of all actors, because of their faith and endurance, which never fails them. Who?
Irene! I'm returning the Triple Crown, sir.
Come. Put it down.
Sir, will it disturb you if I say something?
It depends on what it is.
I just wanted to thank you.
For what?
The performance this evening.
It's not over yet.
I felt honored to be on the stage.
Open that drawer. You'll find a photograph of me. And best wishes. There.
Oh, thank you, sir. I love coming into this room. I can feel the power and the mystery.
Ah.
In days gone by, this would have been the place where the high priest robe. I feel frightened, as though I'm trespassing.
A kindred spirit. Lock the door. Come nearer.
Irene.
And you want to act?
Yes.
Passionately?
Yes.
With every fiber of your being?
Yes.
To the exclusion of all else?
Yes.
You must be prepared to sacrifice what most people call life.
I am.
Have you good legs? Come closer. Let me see. Higher. There's not much to you. Such small bones. Are you getting enough to eat? So young. So young. That's more like it. Too late. Too late.
Well, now, my dainty duck, my dear old.
Let go of me! What are you doing? Let go!
No,
man! Stop it! Let go!
Well, what was all that about?
He seems better.
I'm waiting.
What?
A graphic description of events. Out with it. Or I shall slap your face hard. You'd better know that my parentage is questionable and I can be vicious when roused.
I thought we were friends.
I thought so too, Irene. I shall long remember welcoming you into the company in the prop room of the Palace Theatre, Newark-on-Trent. The smell of sighs and carpenter's glue, the creaking of skips, and you locked in the arms of the Prince of Morocco, a married man. Ever such a comic sight with his tights round his ankles and you smeared black. I said, don't worry, mum's the word, but don't let it happen again. We talked, brewed tea on a paint-stained gas ring, under a photograph of Mr. Charles Doran as Shylock, somewhat askew and ever so disapproving. You expressed gratitude, and I said, now you're one of the family. And this is how you repay me.
What am I supposed to have done?
You tell me.
About what?
About Sir, the Governor, the Chief Father, him from whom all favours flow. You know who Sir is, Irene.
I'm late. I have to help her ladyship with her armour.
A ladyship's armour will keep. Perhaps you didn't hear my question. What did Sir do?
I'm not telling you.
I'll mark you for life, Daddy.
I'll tell Sir. You strike me and I'll tell him. I'll tell him I will. I'll tell Sir.
Tell Sir on me. I quake in my boots. I shan't be able to eat my tea. Tell Sir. Gadzooks, madam, the thought of it. You telling Sir on me. Ducky, in his present state, which totters between confusion and chaos. To tell Sir anything at all would take a louder voice and clearer diction than that possessed by the most junior member of the Shakespearean troupe, the assistant stage manager, dog's body, general understudy, map carrier and company mattress, namely you. You won't be able to tell Sir you'd let him touch your tits on a Thursday matinee in Aberystwyth. Tell Sir. You think I don't know the game? You think I've dressed the rotten bugger for 16 bloody years, nursed him, spoiled him, washed his sweat-sodden doublet and hose and his foul underpants night after night without knowing every twist and turn of what is laughingly known as his mind? Never mind, tell Sir. I'll tell you. He did something. Something unseen and furtive. Something that gave him pleasure. That's more like it. More like what, Irene? I have to know all that occurs. I have to know all he does.
He lifted me up in his arms.
Lifted you up?
So young. So young, he said, and lifted me up. And with my eyes closed, I imagined what it would be like to be carried on by him. Cordelia. Dead in his arms. Young.
Never mind a young Cordelia, Ducky. He wants a light Cordelia. Light, Ducky, light. Look at yourself. Look at her ladyship.
You don't understand. He needs youth.
You're lighter than she is, Ducky. You're not the first to be placed on the scales. How do you think her ladyship got the job? Her ladyship, when a slip of a girl, went from map carrier to youngest daughter overnight. I remember it well. That was the tour the Doge of Venice gave Lancelot Gobbo clap. It's not youth or talent or star qualities after Ducky, but a moderate eater. Off you go, Ducky. You'll have to find another canoe to paddle. Ours, I'm afraid, has holes.
Enter Lear, fantastically dressed in wild flowers.
Michelangelo did there.
And Blake.
I know what they mean. Moral grandeur.
I talked to the girl. She's not as light as she looks. We're none of us strong enough for a change of cast.
Cannot be properly paid. In pectora, I name you friend. The debt is all mine. And I shall find a way to repay you. I must settle all my debts.
Don't. You're making me tearful.
Oh, God. Your breath smells of stale tights. How much have you had?
Not enough.
Iago.
Long play.
I have to wake in bliss. I have to carry on her ladyship. I need you sober.
I am sober. Diction perfect. Deportment steady. Temper serene.
It is no laughing matter. Final push. I hope you are up to it.
And you, dear.
What?
And you, Leah.
I am come to bid my king and master aye good night. Is he not here?
Are you ready, Pussy?
Speak, Edmund. Where's the king?
I pant for life. Some good I mean to do, despite of mine own nature. Quickly, send me briefing it to the castle.
I wish you wouldn't do that. You remind me of a labourer.
The life of Leah and Cordelia. Nay, send in time. Run, run, oh, run. Haste thee for thy life.
Cue timpani.
Well, and eyes, I'd use them so that heaven's vault should crack. She's gone forever. I know when one is dead and when one lives. She's dead as earth. May you undo this button. Thank you, sir. Do you see this? Look on her. Look. Her lips. Look there. Look there.
Break heart, I prithee, break. The weight of this sad time we must obey. Speak what we feel, not what we ought to say. The oldest hath borne most. We that are young shall never see so much, nor live so long.
Cue curtain down.
We've done it, Will. We've done it.
Stand by for curtain calls. Curtain going up. Stand by for your curtain calls, sir. Cue curtain down.
Let them know you're coming, sir. Lord, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for the manner in which you have received the greatest tragedy in our language. We live in dangerous times. Our civilization is under threat from the forces of darkness. And we, humble actors, do all in our power to fight the soldiers on the side of right in the great battle. Tomorrow night we shall give
Richard the Third.
King Richard the Third. I myself will play the Hunchback King. On Saturday afternoon, my lady wife will play Portia, and I, the badly wronged Jew in The Merchant of Venice, a play you may think of greater topicality than ever. On Saturday night...
Leah.
On Saturday night, we shall essay once more the tragedy you have this evening witnessed. And I myself shall again undergo the severest test known to an actor. On behalf of my lady wife, my company, and myself, I remain your humble and obedient servant, and can no other answer make but thanks and thanks and ever thanks.
Sir?
What will happen to you?
Could you be a little more explicit?
What will happen to you if I can't continue?
Stop it. Nothing ever happens to me.
What will you do?
As best I can.
What is the play tomorrow?
Richard III.
Again? Who planned this tour?
You did.
Slavery. Bloody slavery.
Who?
Geoffrey.
Come.
Just popped in to say good night, old man.
Good night, Geoffrey. Very fine in the storm scene, my boy. Felt your love. That's what matters.
Thank you. Fool is by far the most important part I've ever played in Shakespeare. I hope I didn't let you down.
Offer Geoffrey a small glass of beer, Norman.
Yes, sir.
Oh, thank you. Such an odd feeling tonight, old man. Rather exciting to reach my age to prove to others that one can act.
Mm.
That's the wonderful thing about this life of ours. It's never too late. Mm. Oh, thank you, Norman. Mm. Cheers.
Good health attend you.
Bottoms up, Geoffrey.
As long as you feel I didn't let you down.
In no particular.
When you interviewed me, I said I didn't want too much. Small parts, I said. It may not be thought admirable, but I've never put a jot at risk. Never wanted to scale the heights. Played goodish parts. Tours, of course, never London. I don't complain. Touring's a good life. Sorry to be so long-winded. The point is, if at any time circumstances arise, I should like to be considered for better parts. I shouldn't want an increase in salary.
I will keep you in the forefront of my mind.
Thank you, old man. Mm. Well, good night. Thank you for the drink.
Oh, whoops-a-daisy, Geoffrey.
I can manage.
Fine fellow. Fine fellow.
Shouldn't we remove our makeup, sir?
I hope Will's pleased tonight.
I had a friend.
No, not
I
now,
I had a friend
Norman.
That ever such a sweet singing voice, but lost it in Colwyn Bay after a bad attack of sea mist. But it came back to him in the end, and you know why? Because he said to himself, they also sing who only stand and serve. Or worse to that effect.
Are you pissed, Norman?
Me, sir? Pissed, sir? Look, Sir Percy, how you do towsle me.
Let me smell your breath.
There. Told you. Sweeter than Winston Churchill.
I can't have you pissed.
Bonzo, not changed yet?
I've been a little slow tonight, Pussy.
I'm not waiting. I'll go back to the digs and see if I can get a fire lit.
I shan't be long.
Good night, Norman. I'm not certain whether I should thank you or not.
Not. I can't bear being thanked.
A good woman. Who?
Mr. Oxenby.
What do you want?
My manuscript. He won't read it, I know that.
Keep your voice down. He hasn't gone yet. Wait there. He's a little slow tonight.
All that struggling and surviving has tired him, no doubt.
Please, Mr. Oxenby.
Outmoded hypocrite.
What? What?
Not now, Mr. Oxenby.
Death to all tyrants.
What? What did he say?
Here it is, Mr. Oxenby.
Tell him, from me, I look forward to a new order.
I want a company without tyrants.
Who'll be in charge?
I would.
Close that door!
You'll be lovely with a little success, Mr. Oxenby.
Your nose is browner than usual tonight, Norman.
What did Oxenby want?
Good night, sir. Good night, Norman.
If you hurry, you'll catch Mr. Oxenby.
Sir.
Oh,
sir, what is it?
I'm tired. Tired, terribly tired. The room is spinning. I must lie down.
Come on. Come over to the couch.
Lay down.
See if you can get me a taxi in this godforsaken place.
Oh, in good time. Oh, don't cry. Don't cry.
There's nothing left.
Oh, stop that at once. I had a friend who...
Oh, for Christ's sake! I'm sick of your friends. Motley Crue they are, pathetic, lonely, despairing.
That's nice, isn't it?
I beg your pardon. And call for... Call myself your friend.
Never despairing.
I've apologized.
Never, never despairing. Well, perhaps sometimes at night. Or at Christmas when you can't get to Panto. But not once inside the building. Never. Pathetic maybe, but not ungrateful. Too mindful of one's luck, as the saying goes. No duke is more privileged. Here's beauty. Here's spring and summer. Here pain is bearable. And never lonely. Not here. For he today that sheds his blood with me. Soft, no doubt. Sensitive, that's my nature. Easily hurt, but that's a virtue. I'm not here for reasons of my own, either. No one could accuse me of base motives. I've got what I want, and I don't need anyone to know it. Inadequate, yes. But never, never despairing.
I've begun my life.
What?
Legend. The book. I made a start.
Where is it now?
Find the place. Where?
You didn't get very far.
What did I write?
My life.
Yes.
Dedication.
Yes.
This book is dedicated to my beloved Pussy, who has been my splendid spur. To the spirit of all actors, because of their faith and endurance, which never fails them. To those who do the work of the theatre, yet have but small share in its glory. Carpenters, electricians, scene shifters, property men. To the audiences who have laughed with us, have wept with us, and whose hearts have united with ours in sympathy and understanding. And finally, oh, sir, to the memory of William Shakespeare, in whose glorious service we all labour.
My life will have to do.
Wait a moment, wait a moment. Carpenters, electricians, property men. But, sir, sir? 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 We're not dead, are we? Talk about untoward. You're right. The room is spinning.
Your ladyship! Madge! Anybody?
Wasn't much of a death scene. Unremarkable and ever so short. For him.
Where's her ladyship?
Left without him. Couldn't wait.
I'll telephone her. And I'll get a doctor.
Oh, too late for a doctor, Ducky. What's happened to me?
Close the door. Wait outside.
I don't want to wait outside. I'll never wait outside. I want to be with him. I know my place.
Try and sober up.
Carpenters, electricians, property men. There. Cruel bastard. You might have remembered.
Her ladyship's coming at once. She took it very calmly. She asked for him to be covered in his Lear cloak. Where is it?
Covered in his Lear cloak? Fetch the photographer, ducky. Covered in his Lear cloak. This isn't the death of Nelson, you know.
Where is it?
Over here.
Oh. Well, give it to me.
Keane's ring. A new way to pay old.
There's no mention of stage managers either. You're nothing now, Ducky. He took away your stripes. And mine. How could he be so bloody careless?
Come away.
And then where will I go? Where? I'm nowhere out of my element. I don't want to end up running a boarding house in Westcliff-on-Sea or Colwyn Bay. What am I going to do?
You can speak well of him.
Speak well of that old sod? I won't give him a good character, not in the court of law, ungrateful bastard. Silence, Ducky. My lips sealed.
Get out. I don't want you in here.
Oh, holy, 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 is it? I'm in the shrine. I'm pissing on the altar.
Stop it!
He never once took me out for a meal. Never once. Always a backseat, me. Can't even remember him buying me a drink. Just walks out, leaves me. No fault for anyone but himself. What have I been doing here all these years? Why? Yeah, well... Reason not the knees, rotten bugger. Beg your pardon, leave the room, turn around 3 times and come back. Come back. Speak well of him. I know what you'd say, Ducky. I know all about you. I've got eyes in my head. We all have our little sorrows.
Come out of here.
I know what you'd say. Stiff upper, faithful, loyal, loving. Well, I have only one thing to say about him, and I wouldn't say it in front of you or her ladyship or anyone. Lips tight shut. I wouldn't give you the pleasure. Or him. Especially not him. If I said what I have to say, he'd find a way to take it out on me. No one will ever know. We all have our little sorrows, Ducky. You're not the only one. The littler you are, the larger the sorrow. You think you loved him. What about me? This is not a place for death. I had a friend, sir. He that has and a little tiny wit with a hey ho, the wind and the rain.
Freddie Jones was Sir, and Michael Palin, Norman, in The Dresser by Ronald Harwood. Her Ladyship was played by Melinda Walker, Madge by Jill Graham, Irene by Federe Holmes, Mr. Thornton by Jeffrey Matthews, and Mr. Oxenby by Keith Drinkle. Other members of Sir's company were played by John Baddeley, John Webb, and James Telfer. The percussionist was Roy Sinclair. The Dresser was adapted for radio and directed by David Blount.
Well, next week's drama is about a nymphomaniac socialite and her cocaine-addicted son. It's not some gritty urban tale, but Noel Coward's play from 1924, The Vortex.
The digital station for comedy, drama and entertainment.
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Now, Jonathan Bate continues his investigation into the motley crew of tricksters who've tried to fool the general public with fakes of some of the great creative artists. Last week it was Shakespeare. This week we discover how the premature demise of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart led to all sorts of nefarious activity.